Welcome. Welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 69.
And Sarah's flipping it backwards because she usually tells everybody welcome back. And I always invite the new people.
Oh, just because I didn't say welcome back?
Yep. So, yeah. Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 69. And so we're going to do it backwards this week.
Oh. Welcome back, weirdos of the internet and stuff.
And stuff. So hopefully everybody's holiday was fun and safe, because our nosy neighbors group, it was a wild ride for the days off we had. A couple people lost some fingers. One person lost a hand. There was a standoff.
One person that lost their life.
There was one.
Somebody blew themselves. Yeah, basically blew themselves up.
I didn't hear or see that one in the group. Yeah. But there's like 80,000 people in that group. Yeah. I didn't hear about that one. And then there was the standoff, which the guy should have taken his cordless hole puncher to himself and not his child. Yeah. So unfortunately that happened also as well. I mean, the state police had to get involved with that one.
Yeah. But, the SWAT team.
Yeah. But other than that, it's a combined episode this week.
Yay.
So this is actually going to be the combined episode that was supposed to be 2 weeks ago that I did not want to put out because it sounded like crap. Because I tried doing noise reduction and it sounded like we were using carbon microphones, you know, the old timey microphones, and neither one of us were using that transatlantic accent that usually comes on with that. So I was like, no, I'm not putting this out. So I know sometimes where it's like every other week, even though it's every Wednesday, if it sounds terrible, I'm not putting it out.
Right.
So.
Quality.
Yep. Quality over quantity.
Quantity.
So what do you have for this week for our stories?
Emphasis on the titty.
This is all a titty.
I have a follow-up of sorts.
Oh, okay.
From another episode that I did earlier this year. There's not a follow-up, but an addition to a story.
Okay, so a continuation almost.
Yes. Cool. What you got?
This is more kind of a thank you, because a lot of people on the Twitch channel, they wanted to hear about this because I played Autopsy Simulator last month on there.
Yep.
And a lot of people were interested in hearing about the whole process with that, because, you know, everybody that knows me game-wise or through the Twitch channel knows that I make the joke of, like, the $20, $15 sim games are, like, my trashy romance novel. Like,
word. Me and Herpes Island.
You and Herpes Island, I guess we're going to call Love Island, but, you know, your little book club thing that you're in.
Oh, yeah.
With some of the listeners and Twitch viewers.
Yeah.
You know, like you're reading those smut books. Like, those sim games are my smut book.
I haven't read a smut book in a while. It's been a lot of...
Really?
Mystery. Yeah. Hmm. It's been at least 4 books since I've read a smut book.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Wow.
I know.
Sarah's cleaning her act up, apparently. What's going on here?
Till the next smut book.
Till the next one. But since I did bring it up, if you haven't come join us on Twitch, you're just lurking and watching, come join us. Usually it's Wednesday through Fridays.
If they're just lurking and watching, they're already joining you on Twitch.
Well, it's true, but you don't have to participate in chat. You just can come lurk and watch, you know, me play games terribly like I did for 4th of July. I was really bad at playing War Thunder. But for this week, this is, you know, the steps of an autopsy. That's what I'm doing, so... Doesn't really fit history or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of does. Autopsies had to start somewhere.
True.
That was in the histories.
But, you know, before we do all that, we got what next?
On this day in the histories of this day today.
So, for on this day, July 10th, Nikola Tesla was born in 1856 in Smiljan, Croatia. Tesla was a Serbian-American physicist, electrical engineer, and inventor who developed alternating current in the Tesla coil The film Escape from New York premieres in 1981, starring Kurt Russell, and is directed by John Carpenter. Russell plays the role of Snake Plissken, a former Special Forces soldier turned criminal who is recruited to save the president in exchange for his own freedom. When Manhattan was turned into a prison in 1997 after the U.S. and the Russians go to war, the film made $25.2 million at the box office.
What is that in today's money?
I forgot to convert that.
No inflation calculator?
Nope. And then it had a sequel called for Escape from L.A. years later and was apparently bombed in the box office at some point.
Oh.
I don't remember what year it came out. I remember just watching it. In 1965, the Rolling Stones scored their first number one hit single, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Or it's actually, the name of the song is actually Satisfaction, but everybody knows it as I Can't Get No Satisfaction. National League pitcher Carl Hubbell strikes out Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, Al Simmons, and Joe Cronin for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game record for consecutive strikeouts. The American League still wins 9-7 in 1934. In 1985, the French foreign intelligence agents blew up the Greenpeace boat known as Rainbow Warrior at Auckland Harbor in New Zealand to prevent it from interfering with French nuclear tests in the South Pacific. Dutch photographer Fernando Pereira is killed in this attack.
Huh.
The Telstar satellite launched in 1962. This satellite launch allowed transatlantic television and other communications to become a reality. The satellite was a product of AT&T Bell Laboratories. The excitement of sending international telephone calls waned off very quickly after users realized there was a half-second delay over the 25,000-mile transmission path. Compared to what things are today.
Wow.
Instantaneously now.
Yeah.
Mel Blanc, the man who brought Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, Tweety Bird, Daffy Duck to life, dies in 1989 at the age of 81 in San Francisco.
Aww.
Mel Blanc had complications from heart disease and emphysema, and his headstone is engraved with, "That's all, folks."
Aw, I mean, that's fitting, though.
Yeah. So that's our On This Day for July 10th.
For all the things of the years gone by.
Yep. So, are you ready to get started?
I am.
All right, let's get going.
Some of you may remember a story I did this year for Valentine's Day involving Brocard, an English musician who fell in love with and was cheated on by her Victorian ghost husband. Do you remember his name?
I want to say Edward, but I think that's wrong.
Eduardo.
I was close.
Now, there is more of her story to tell.
Okay.
As of May 20th, Brocard has come back into the spotlight because...
Wait, hold on. They get back together.
No.
What? Okay.
No. May 20th, Brocard came back into the spotlight because of something just as weird as she is. This time, it might even be weirder than the ghost husband.
Okay.
So, Brocard is a self-proclaimed ghost magnet. And she, I don't know if she still is, but back in May, she was currently touring the U.S. to film locations for a paranormal investigation show that she is making.
Okay. That's what we need is another one of those.
Being from the UK, though, I don't know that it would show in the US unless it's on some like strange app.
Like on Tubi or some shit like that.
She made a stop in Nevada to spend the night at the Clown Motel.
Is this the same Clown Motel that has the cemetery right next door to it?
Yep.
Okay.
So she spent a night in one of the rooms that was full of clowns. Going to guess they're all full of clowns.
Right. I think I've seen like one picture and yeah, it's
full of clowns.
And you know, stuff like that doesn't really bother me, but it's the one picture of a room I saw. I was like, that's a definite no for me.
Yeah. She claims that one of the clown dolls was possessed because she instantly gravitated towards it and connected with it. She wound up keeping it and taking it with her on the rest of her tour. When the tour was over, she took it home with her to Oxfordshire to do a paranormal investigation on the clown itself. Even though she divorced Eduardo, he became jealous and wanted it out of the house. So apparently he's still in the house with her as a divorced ghost. Apparently for Eduardo, one ghost in the house is enough for him. And he wants to be that one.
Well, if they're like, you know, ghost divorce, what does he care?
But, right. Right.
She should probably get those digits of a sick exorcist that she asked for in that episode. Get rid of them so she can be there with her clown doll.
Yeah.
And not have to deal with the jealous ex-husband.
Can't believe you remember that fucking song. Anyways, Brocard had said, I can instantly tell when Eduardo has a point to make because his energy becomes very powerful. His presence has been very manageable these days, and I only see him from time to time. He does not like the clown, though. He watches him, and I keep finding the clown by the door. Subtlety is not Eduardo's strong point. She says she has no interest in the doll in a romantic way because she doesn't want a paranormal love triangle.
What? Okay. I don't know. Just keep going.
She claims that the spirit that's trapped inside revealed to her that they were a carnival clown in another lifetime.
How convenient. She picks up a clown doll and they were a carnival clown.
Correct. She said that he was a tortured soul that lived his days by being ridiculed via the audiences that he was performing for.
I mean, that's kind of part of what being a clown is, I think. Yeah. But maybe not to the extent like we're thinking. Maybe there's some other underlying issues with him being a clown.
I don't know. She said that when she connects with spirits, that it's their emotions that she connects to first. Clearly, because it's not going to be their skin or like...
Right.
You know.
Their ectoplasm.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's what Ghost Nut would be.
I don't know. Is this a shower thought?
It's a recording thought.
Either way, it's staying in there.
It's whatever.
See what everybody else says.
Yeah, Kevin Carlton, I'm sure you got an answer for that.
Yeah, you have an answer for everything.
She says sometimes a spirit will attach itself to a physical object, and in this case, the clown doll. Brocard knew she wanted to learn more about the once human clown, so she adopted this clown. So,
well, hold on. You take the clown doll, statue, figurine, whatever, and you're saying you're adopting it. You literally just took its, you know, attachment. So you kind of technically would kidnap the ghost by doing this?
I mean, yeah. Also, how do you adopt a doll?
Right.
I mean, I guess it wouldn't be any different than Cabbage Patch or Build-A-Bear.
Right, but Cabbage Patch and Build-A-Bear, that's the whole experience of those things.
Well.
But anyway.
Maybe she had an experience in that hotel room that she wasn't letting the media outlets know.
Maybe.
Brocard said she currently only knows a small bit about him, but is hoping over the next few months to understand more. Because, you know, she's got to feel out them vibes.
Right.
The Clown Motel itself is said to be one of Nevada's most famous haunted locations. And Brocard said that the motel had many murders in it over time.
Right.
Which, I mean, probably true.
I mean, if it's like a no-tell motel situation, the Clown Motel.
Yeah.
No-tell motel, Clown Motel.
Oh, hell. The deaths were unpleasant, and she believes there's a portal allowing dark entities in, and she believes that the ghosts still linger in the motel and that some have possessed the clowns. When she left the motel, she took once human carny clown with her and has shown him a lot. She took him to Hollywood. They shared a crazy night together in Las Vegas.
Keep going.
I wish they could see your face to this. She states that so far he's been peaceful and she's only seeing him move very subtly. So not big movements, I guess.
Right.
She said there's been no other crazy things happening inside of her home and hopes it stays that way now that the two ghosts are there. But I have a feeling if Eduardo is still there and he's super mad and he wants to be the only one, that there's going to be issues.
Right.
But if you ever look at her website, she said in an interview that she's looking to put a clown cam on for everyone to be able to watch her new demon child.
So, okay. Eduardo doesn't want to be in a love triangle. She's adopted it, but you're saying demon child.
Yeah.
She needs to pick one or the fucking other here. What's going on?
You either get the ghost husband or you get the ghost child.
Well, yeah, but you're saying she's saying it's Eduardo's wanting to deal with a love triangle, but she's saying
she didn't want to deal with the love triangle.
Okay, so she's saying she doesn't want to deal with this love triangle.
I just called it a demon child because she said adopted it. You don't adopt
a lover. That's what I'm getting
you
to.
You adopt a child.
Oh, so that was your words for demon child. Okay.
Yeah, those me. Because, you know, it's in a little clown I associate little with children.
Right.
But anyways, that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Like when you're saying she's going to Hollywood and all that, all I can imagine is here she is with it tucked in. Like, did she even say how like big this thing is?
There's when I do the video for this and yeah. when you put it on Facebook, right. there'll be pictures up.
Right.
And so, I have a picture of her with.
The so like how clone. Big is it?
It's not big.
So are we talking like a foot tall, like something she carry on her arm?
Maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet.
Okay. So then, yeah, something she probably carry like cradling in her arm. Yeah. So I'm just picturing her like the Hollywood Walk of Fame with this doll tucked in her arm in the front of the Chinese theater getting a picture with fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the Hollywood sign in the distance, you know, and then the L.A. Pier. Like all the touristy fucking places, here she is with this fucking doll.
Yeah.
God.
And it's not even like a creepy looking clown. It's right. just a clown.
It's just a regular standard of the mill clown.
Yeah.
What?
if like David rolled his eyes so hard just now.
My mouth, the back of my hand.
He just saw his butthole.
Yeah, pretty much. But
yeah, but I saw that and I had to like.
Right, bring it to everybody.
Yeah, because it was. She's just she in general is a what the fuck.
I don't know. It's like. Even with it being a paranormal story and us still doing investigation stuff, I can't really, you know, bash her for what she's saying also, but it also seems a whole lot of everybody's forgot about me. So no, hey, look at me, guys. Look what I got going on.
I'm back in the news.
Right.
Yep. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just annoyed by this story just because how crazy this fucking lady is.
She really possibly is off her fucking rocker.
I'm going to say possibly crazy she is.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, she married a fucking ghost.
Right.
Divorced him because Marilyn Monroe was apparently at their wedding.
Right.
And he cheated on her with Marilyn Monroe. So.
Right.
She's not crazy at all.
Right. It also goes back to the things I think I said in that episode when you're like, oh, he's super messy on the ice cream. She just stabbed herself with a fucking ice cream cone. Or I think so. I think I said something like that when we first talked. It's like, Edward, I'll stop it.
Meanwhile, she's dotting her own fucking eye with the end of the cone.
Yeah. And everyone's just like, what the fuck?
This bitch is Looney Tunes.
But, you know, who are we to say? But anyway,
yeah,
it's not like she's going to listen to us anyway with her whole three listeners.
And if she does, Brocard, what the fuck, man?
Right. Or how about this? Come on, be a guest and set us straight.
Or that. But also, what the fuck? That part's
getting cut out. Maybe.
We'll I'd leave it.
Yeah. You want me to? All right. Don't post shit on the internet. You're not, you know, if you don't have thick skin to be made fun of.
Don't seek out the media if you don't want people to know.
Right.
And scrutinize.
Yep.
Just like us. I fully recognize that there's going to be people that love us, people that think we're fucking stupid and the podcast sucks, but fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of what you do going in. It's yep. part of what she should have known.
Right.
When she walked up to the media with the story.
Yep. But anyway, enough of us being human monsters about that, you know. It's an unfinished story, so, you know, who's to say what's fact and fiction between it, you know, without hearing the entire thing.
Yep.
So we decided to do this thing about Autopsy 1, and, you know, it fits everything here. And 2, this is more of a...
That's your phone.
I know it is. It's more of a fact or fiction, not fact or fiction, but, you know, more of a thank you, I guess they could say, for everybody that comes and hangs out on Twitch and help getting us pushed to affiliate. Everything and so whatnot. So thank you to Minnie and Noodle, the 2 Cheese Nips and the Man Dragon and
Tyler
and Blue Wanderer and some other Twitch streamers. I'm sorry that I Astromathy, that's another one. He came in and pushed and gave me followers. There's a couple more that I can't remember off the top of my head that came in that night and helped push. Yeah. Made the push for our channel to get affiliated. So this is more of a, you know, truth behind the thing is like seeing what you see him on. You see him on TV and whatnot. And there's a whole lot of shit that's probably skipped on television because it would make for boring TV. It's like back, you know, when I was still in the fire service with that. And I'm like, whatever, you know, because they're doing the real thing is if they did it to like the real life, you know, it's kind of really boring, you'd think.
Watching a real one is pretty interesting.
Yeah. I was talking about fire stuff, but
oh,
because, you know, for like in like television with fire stuff, because I have more experience with that, you're just seeing two guys slaving a day. So even though there's like two, four people inside, there's two to three times that people amount of people outside making sure they're staying alive inside.
Yeah.
Because you got your incident commander, you have your pump operator, you have your RIT team, which is a rapid intervention team. So if like shit goes south, they're going in to get, and their main task is to come and get them out. Think of them like the fire service special forces. They are just standing there ready, waiting to go and hoping they don't get the call.
Right.
So that's where my experience between fact and fiction is for Hollywood and that kind of thing is. But this is more so for autopsies is what I'm doing. So an autopsy is performed by doctors that are known as pathologists. There are four different types. There is a forensics, clinical, anatomical, and virtual autopsy. Forensic autopsies are performed if the law issues an autopsy to be done due to a suspicious or sudden death without medical assistance or during a surgical procedure. A clinical autopsy is performed to diagnose a particular disease for research purposes. The aim is to determine to clarify or confirm medical diagnoses that remained unknown or unclear before the patient's death. An anatomical or academic are performed by students of anatomy for study purposes only. And virtual autopsies are performed by using image technology such as an MRI or a CT scan or possibly x-rays.
So no slicing and dicing.
No, there is still some slicing and dicing. Okay. That's just the different types of autopsies there are. So like before the autopsy even begins, I'm doing this basically off of a, you know, forensics one, because that's what we're all mostly, you know, most of us are what we're here for is true crimey stuff. So that's what I base most of this off of. So before the autopsy is conducted, investigators will gather all the information they can about the subject and the events leading to his or her death, consulting medical records, doctors, and family members, and examining the location and circumstances of their death. Before the body is taken to the medical examiner's office or a funeral home, a brand new body bag or sterile evidence sheet will be used to avoid contamination. If there is to be possible evidence on the hands, like residue from gunpowder or skin on their fingernails from fighting off an attacker, paper bags will be placed over each hand individually and then taped around the wrist to preserve any possible evidence there might be in the skin, on the skin, under the fingernails, so on and so forth. Yeah,
that's smart.
So, you know, there is also the autopsy table, which I figured I would put this in there. The autopsy table that this is going to take most of this is going to take place on is either waist high or is an adjustable height stainless steel table with running water to facilitate washing away any blood or any other bodily fluids that's going to be released during the procedure. And the autopsy table is slanted, has a slight angle for drainage with raised edges also to keep body fluids and other fluids from spewing on the floor. So basically kind of like the table that I sat on at the Bell Mansion.
Yeah. I remember.
Oh, I know you'll remember. I'm sure when we go back, we're going to sit on it again. Hopefully after dark next time. The forensic pathologist performs a detailed external examination of the body while it's still in the body bag if it was brought in one. So they'll just open the bag, pull it open, see what they see from there. So they will first photograph the body, and they're going to take notes of any kind of clothing, if there is any present, and the position of the clothing on that body before it is removed. Then the pathologist will record everything on a body diagram and also take audio notes with a tape recorder. They also make notes on the subject's hair color, length of their hair, their eye color, their ethnicity, male or female, and their age. And also any other possible evidence such as skin, paint flakes, and gunpowder residue will also be collected at this time. A UV light also may be used at this time also to see if, to find any evidence that might not be visible. So like some body fluids, you know, react to UV light, and believe gunpowder does as well too. I don't remember off the top of my head when I was looking into this. Hair and fingernail samples are also taken from the body and may also be photographed, and x-rays will be taken also while it's still laying in this position. We will weigh and measure the body and make notes also of any special identifiers such as tattoos, scars, moles, birthmarks, missing limbs, things like that are clearly visible. So first thing they're going to look at is the chest, and the forensic pathologist will pay particular attention if the death is suspicious, looking at clothes or paying attention to any unusual smells or odors, so like bullet, knife marks, kind of thing. Then they'll move to the shoulders. And they're going to look for abrasions, cuts, bruises, distinguishing marks, or tattoos on the body. And they're going to also look at their elbows, and they're going to test for rigor mortis by bending the elbow and knees or opening and or opening the jaw to see if they move to determine how long the body is. Mm-hmm. It's been laying wherever it's been found because, you know, over time your body becomes stiff since there's no blood pumping.
Right. But it also softens back up and is flexible again after like 24 hours of rigor, I think.
Maybe you should have done the story of throwing little tiddly bits like that for me. Oh,
tiddly bits.
Then they will now look at the fingers and see if there's any other information that can be trapped here, since that's what the paper bags were for. You know, they're looking for the skin, whatever that may or may not be there. And then they'll go and also look at the legs to see if there's any blood pooling to help determine the time of death. Because once your heart stops pumping, gravity takes over and everything goes down to the lowest point, being your back, in your legs,
whatever you're laying on.
Well, yeah, where depending on where you're up, how your body's laying. So for like, we're just gonna say, just like the body chart, stiff board. You know, if you're on your back, all your blood's gonna pull. You know, the lowest point and be in your back and your butt and the back of your legs. So now, before the body is removed from the body bag to prep for the internal examination, the body will be clean, weighed, and measured without the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And before they start slicing a knife on the body, a rubber block known as a head block will be placed under the shoulders, making the body arch backward, making the chest push up and out to make it the necessary incision easier and to gain more space in the body for the internal examination.
Okay.
So for this internal examination, multiple approaches can be used. A large, deep Y-shaped incision can be made starting at the top of each shoulder and running down the front of the chest, meaning at the lower point of the sternum or your breastbone. So for those that actually watch me play Autopsy Simulator, this was the cut that they used in that game. A curved incision can be made from the tips of each shoulder in a semicircular line across the chest to approximately the level of the second rib, curving back up to the opposite shoulder. So, like,
right,
big old U shape. A single vertical incision is made from the sternal notch or at the base of the neck. A U-shaped incision also can be used, made from the tip of both shoulders down along the side of the chest to the bottom of the rib cage. Following it, this is typically used on women and during chest-only autopsies.
Chest-only autopsy.
Yeah, they only just want, hey, we only want this part done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's clear and evident that nothing else needs to actually be examined other than the chest. So after one of these cuts is made, a long cut will be made down to the pubic bone, avoiding the navel or on either side and crossing over any scars if possible. Unlike in the movies or television, bleeding from these cuts is minimal or non-existent, as there isn't any blood pressure produced from the heart pumping. In case of drowning victims, there could be profuse bleeding because, you know, it's the body blows basically at the point because it starts sucking in all that water. So now with this chest cavity open, shears or a bone saw will be used to remove the sternum, and it will be moved out to the side to be put back in the body later. And I'm sure when they're doing all this, they're taking notes on things that they're seeing when they peel back the flesh and all that stuff. So biggest thing to remember while this is all going on, everything's being recorded, pictures are being taken. So with our chest cavity already open, first thing they're going to start with is the heart and the lungs. While removing the heart, they're going to check for blood cults. There's a whole fucking lot of those out there. While removing the heart, they will also check for blood clots.
Clots.
Yeah, that cult's there. Yeah, there's super little tiny cults living in the deceased.
And their goal is murder.
They're going to check for these blood clots in the pulmonary artery. They will also take blood samples from the same pulmonary veins that they're checking the blood clots for a chemical analysis later on. And of course, they will be weighed and documented as well. The rest of the internal organs can be removed from further examination and also be weighed, and notes will be recorded one at a time after the examination and the notes of the relationship to the organs to the vessels. So they're basically doing all this with, you know, each internal organ. They're taking it out, they're looking it around. Mm-hmm. Anything like me on a Autopsy Simulator making it jiggle a little bit? Probably not. That was just me because they had that physics in there and it grossed out Noodle. I don't know how many times you told me in chat and like all caps, would you stop?
I'd keep doing it just for
that. Oh, I did. And then every time I pulled one out, I would do that until she'd be like, stop. Oh my God.
You're a horrible people.
So yeah, as I was saying, they do this with each one individually. So like with Mel Blanc, they probably like, that was in her on this day, they probably paid closer attention if he had an autopsy done to his lungs and his heart, because that's what was mostly his body was affected by, that caused his death. Samples may be taken after these organs are taken from the body for further testing. As you were talking about slicing and dicing, it's not like, whack off a chunk. They're actually taking actual slices.
But they're still slicing.
I know, but the way you're saying it, it's like, oh, we're just going to hack off this chunk like a burn-in. No, it's not. It's like they're actual slices is what they're using.
And then we're going to mince it like garlic.
Maybe Ed Gein maybe might have done something like that.
Yeah.
Well, no, he didn't really eat. He probably didn't. He didn't eat people. He just used their skin.
Jeffrey Dahmer, the people Dahmer might have.
That's true. There's quite a few other cannibals that probably did. The major blood vessels are also cut open and inspected in this stage of the autopsy. Probably looking for, see if there's any other blood clots as well, other than the one in the pulmonary artery of the heart.
Yeah.
The stomach and intestine contents are also weighed and examined, and this is helpful to pathologists to give them a more accurate time of death from the natural passage of food from the stomach to the intestinal tract. So the less contents there is in this is going to say is more likely to see how the last time of the deceased ate a meal, because, generally everybody eats at the same time of day. If the brain does need to be examined, the body block will be repositioned from under the shoulders that ended up opening the chest cavity to just under the head to elevate it up off the table. An incision is made from behind one ear over the crown of the head to behind the other ear. So basically over the top of your head when it's all done and centered over with. There's not like a big ass fucking line over your forehead. So your face is still intact for funeral purposes later. So they flap
it forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they those two flaps, they just flap the top of your head over your face, basically.
Yeah. You ever wanted to see what the back of your scalp looked like? Well,
here it is.
You will when you die.
And the bottom half is actually tucked underneath your head and the top half flopped over your face. So next, what they're going to do is the top of the skull will be cut away with a saw to create a cap, basically. And it's going to be pulled off. And of course, this cap will be put back in place just like your sternum that they cut off once the autopsy is complete. The brain will be examined in its current state sitting inside of the skull, and anything the pathologist needs to see will be documented. If the brain needs to be preserved before it is needed to be inspected, the brain will be placed in a container of formalin, which is 15% solution of formaldehyde gas in buffered water for at least 2 weeks.
Damn.
I have no idea what buffered water is because I can't find a clear, definitive answer to dumb it down for myself. This also will help preserve the brain by making it firmer and easier to handle without damaging the tissue. Once the autopsy is complete and the pathologist finds everything that they're looking for and all their notes are done, the body will be lined with either cotton, wool, or other similar materials, and the organs will be placed back inside the body in a plastic bag to prevent fluids from leaking out of the body. And the sternum and skull cap are put back in place, and the flaps will be rolled back into place and stitched closed for any funeral arrangements that the deceased family has made. But here are some fun facts, though, for autopsies.
Fun facts about autopsy.
Fun facts on the autopsy episode.
Okay, go.
The term autopsy derives from the Greek word autopsia, meaning to see for oneself. The first recorded autopsy was done on Julius Caesar, which I find this pointless to being done in 44 BCE to establish which knife wound has caused his death. A ruptured aorta was determined to be the cause of death. Not all the blood spilling out of his body.
I mean, I'm sure that aorta helped that along very quickly.
Oh, I'm sure. The Catholic Church ordered an autopsy on conjoined infant twins Joanna and Melchiora Maliestro in Hispaniola in 1533 to determine if they shared a soul. There were two distinct hearts, and hence two souls, on the ancient Greek philosophy of those who believe the soul resided in the heart. The twins' father, who had grudgingly paid for two baptisms, may have wished for a different outcome. In the 17th century, Antonia Maria Valsalva would taste fluids from the corpses to document them.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like I've said it once before, and we're going to say it again. The past is weird, but they're going to say the same thing about us when they start talking about us 100 years from now.
She drank their fluid?
Yeah, she tasted the fluids, because I believe the first name was Antonio.
Well, he drank the fluids.
He didn't drink. He tasted.
Either way, it went in his fucking mouth hole.
He's dipping his fingers in the, you know, licking them or something. I don't know. I didn't say. It just said that they tasted the fluids. It didn't say if he was using a chalice or just dipping his fingers to get a little taste test there.
There's just like a little shot glass and he's all.
Yeah, he's doing shooter shots of body fluids during an autopsy.
Would those be body shots?
The first body shots. The first body shots were done in the 16th century.
Yeah, that's bananas.
That's bananas.
Not the autopsy, but that somebody would taste those fluids. Fucking gross. No, thank you.
So, yeah, that's a little bit on how the autopsies are actually done. And now it's not something super exciting because it's like medical science, so.
But it's interesting.
Yeah.
If you, yeah, I feel like I've asked you before if you've ever watched an autopsy be done.
You might have in told previous me episodes. No,
but if you ever get the opportunity to watch one, they are quite interesting.
Right. If
you got the stomach to handle watching it.
Right. Because watching animal stuff, it's like whatever. But when you start seeing it being in people, it's like, what?
I don't know. I can't watch things happen to animals.
Yeah, same here. Mostly.
Mostly. So it's either you can't watch it or you can watch it. It
depends on the day, maybe. I don't know.
I can't. I just, you don't fuck with kids. You don't fuck with animals. Those are my only two hard no's.
But yeah, we keep covering those type of people here.
I know, because I'm a fucking asshole.
But anyway, I think it's time we get out of the Emporium for the day, Sarah. What do you think?
I agree.
So until next time.
Remember to creep it real. Goodbye.
Bye.
Please go and check out our website at macabreemporiumpodcast.com. Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.